charity. You know, it's charity is something that our Father brings forth. And many people, you can ask them, what do you think about our Father? And you're going to get, from the just lay persons of the world, you're going to get all kinds of answers. Well, he's mean. He really is a cruel God. And then you'll have someone else will say, well, he is love and you're supposed to be sweet to everybody on this earth. Well, that's also false. There's enemy. You know, you're not supposed to be sweet to Satan and evil spirits. That goes without saying. But love balances all. Our Father's love for his children. So we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and the greatest commandment of all as it was given by God. And we read it in verse 12 of the 10th chapter of the great book of Deuteronomy. Love conquers all from our Father. Why did he create man? Because he created them, as the last verse of chapter 4 of the great book of Revelation states, for his pleasure. So he doesn't get up every morning and go out to zap somebody. But, you know, as a good father will, he will take the naughty board after you. Okay, especially if you're one of his elect, and that naughty board can kind of sting sometimes. But what you want to do, instead of calling him ornery or mean, kiss that paddle and thank him, because you'll be a lot better person for it. Okay, so the greatest commandment ever given, chapter 10, verse 12 of the great book of Deuteronomy, which is a repeat of the law. That's what the word Deuteronomy means, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What is it he wants from us? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him. I repeat, love him. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's the greatest commandment and the first one ever given. God expects you to serve him, love him. And fear him is a connection between fear and love, okay? The word in the, it means not only fear, but to revere, to love. And naturally, if you have done something that needs correction, you can kind of dread it if you want to, because it's coming. Father will see to it. But that is the greatest commandment of all. And if you want in God's good standing, you obey that verse. And you'll have one of the best starts on it you could ever have in your life, because Jesus himself would say that's the greatest commandment of all. Verse 13, to continue. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Now, let me bring you up to date. What are we talking to here? Israel, that is to say the 10 tribes that were taken captive first. They went over the Caucasus Mountains. They were later called Caucasians. They settled Europe, and then many moved to Canada and America. And they are those 10 tribes. So he's talking to you. But he's preparing you to enter the promised land. The promised land in these end times is exactly that. The return, the second advent. And what he hopes to find you doing at that time. This would be that type. Verse 14. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. It's all his. That's why it's so important that you love him and that he love you. 15. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Why? God doesn't show partialism, because through that seed would come Christ the Savior. And that salvation then would be open to every soul on this earth, regardless of what tribe, what color, what creed, whatever. That love would abound and move forward to be all in all. 16. Circumcise thyself the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. This lets you know that the circumcision would change as Christ changed it. That now it applies to both men and women, that you not be stiff-necked, that you be not obstinate to Almighty God, but that you love him, follow him, obey him. Why? He loves you. That does not mean that God will not correct you if you do something wrong. 17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, that's awesome, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. You can't bribe him. You can't buy your way in. Love does it. Love opens those doors. Love is that key. And so it is that Father leads, guides, and directs. Not a respecter of persons. And you might say, well, there are kind of special people, aren't they? Well, the gift God gives them is special. And those that he gives much, he expects much. But all in all and everyone must consider it is a gift from God to all. And everyone has the gift that God gives them. And you're to use that gift, especially in this generation of the fig tree, when that delivering up before the false Messiah is not that far down the road, most likely. 18, he doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, that's the orphan and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment, as long as he's peaceable. Okay, where most Christians go wrong, they get to be what I call a bleeding heart Christian. You know, they let people stomp on them, romp on them. Well, I just have to forgive them. No, you don't. If they don't deserve forgiveness, you don't forgive them. You might forgive them in your heart because they don't know any better and cut yourself away from them. But in Psalms 144, what does God say there concerning that enemy? God, give me the strength and the power and the knowledge to be a good warrior and to destroy the enemy. In other words, he expects us to protect God's children, those he loves, that would and to do away with those or move them away that would interfere or put in danger our people. So don't ever turn into one of those bleeding heart Christians that you think. Anytime you think you are, go to Psalms 144 and read it. And know God has warriors. And he appreciates them. He expects them. He leads them. He guides them. He directs them. And they are very necessary to have the freedom to bring forth God's word as it is meant to be taught and worshiped. 19. Love you therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. As long as they'll behave, that's wonderful. 20, thou shalt fear, that's revere, the Lord thy God, love him. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. And that's why, because it's your name. You are children of the living God. And our Father, certainly, he expects us, as part of that family, to be in that family. Verse 21, he is thy praise. There's no other when it comes to our heavenly leader. We have one, and he has a son. He is the praise, and he is thy God that hath done for thee these great and terrible, awesome things which thine eyes have seen. And you know, if your eyes are open, you can look around today and see it as well. The protection he gives us, especially in this nation. You reach your hand in your pocket, pull out a coin. What does it say? In God we trust. There's many things going wrong, but there's a lot of things going right. It's kind of below the surface, but it's cooking. Why? Because God's still on the throne. And God's children will take care of themselves. Verse 22, thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for a multitude. There was only 75 when you went down there, but look at you now. The promise of God to Abraham that they would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and sands of the sea, where are they? Well, I can tell you where they are if you know a little history. You know, man cannot change history. He can lie about reporting it. But you can't change history because it's already happened. But men can lie about how it happened. So always stick to the history of our people and their migrations. And don't ever, ever let somebody rob you of that knowledge. because it's your contact with Almighty God. It is your duty. It is your destiny. It is your obligation. It's why we're this nation. The superpower of superpowers is mentioned in the Word of God. It's not an accident. It's the hand of the living Father. Skip on to the next chapter, chapter 11. And pick it up in verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love, there's that word again, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. It doesn't matter if you use the Hebrew word ahaba, which is love, charity, or you can use the Greek word, which is most often used, agape. But it's still love, and it's the love of our Father for toward us and we toward Him. 14, and I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. I'm going to bless you. That's what he's saying. You're going to have plenty. 15, and I will send grass in thy fields for the cattle, thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. I'll take care of you. I control nature, and I can handle it. That's His promise. But there are conditions, and you don't ever want to forget those conditions. What did He say? Well, He was just going to promise it. No, He didn't say that. He said, if you follow my commandments, you've let perversion and other things cook in and destroy the Word of God and see how much rain you get. Verse 16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Especially in this generation, you know, children can count. And if you've ever read God's word in Revelation, you know that in the sixth trump, the false Christ, which is to say Antichrist, as people call him, comes first. Christ doesn't return until the seventh trump. And God's elect, those that have a destiny and a purpose, that know the truth, must stand against Him and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them, as it's written in Mark 13. Not premeditating what you'll say, but letting God use you. You know, a lot of you have had a destiny and you've known it since you were a child, that there was more written in God's Word than had been explained. Where do you find out? You get back to His Word. God loves His children. He will move you and He will use you to put you where He wants you, where He can trust you. And that's the way He operates. Verse 17, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. And so it is. He can do that. And that's one of the reasons that we're blessed in this nation, where we have a government that has to pay people to not produce milk, to not produce too much of this or too much of that. Why? Because we're blessed. And you want to always remember that, from where your blessings flow. And you might say, well, our things are kind of mixed up like this. Whose fault is it? I mean, who voted for who? Who put who in office? You know, we did. And so don't try to blame some God or anyone else for our faults. But it's nothing we can't correct, okay? We get back to the plan of God, and we love our Father. 18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets before your eyes. God said, you write it on your hand if you need a prompter. I seem like I heard somebody doing that recently at a debate. I don't know, but be that as it may. But what he's saying is, remember my word. Especially remember that 10th chapter, the 12th verse, the greatest promise ever made by God. The one that he demands, the greatest commandment. 19, and you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know, if you meditate on God's Word, even while you're working, while you're walking, and talk to Him, that's good. A lot of people wonder about that. There's nothing wrong with it. You don't have to say it out loud. You simply meditate. And ask the Father's guidance and His direction. He will always give it to you as long as you're honest and seeking. Verse 20. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. You know, we're talking here about 1491 B.C. and they were already writing. They had an alphabet. They could communicate. And were able to even write it on a doorpost. That means put that power over the entrance into your home so that nothing evil passes it. 21, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. That means from above He gives that. He gives those blessings. But you know what? You can't forget the ifs. That's the condition. And when we allow ourselves to fall away from those conditions of putting God first instead of some system, you put some system before God, and guess what's going to happen to it? He will rend it, tear it, shake it, shame it. It will not fly. Not over God's children that love Him and obtain those conditions, honor them and keep them, just exactly as Deuteronomy 10:12 so stipulates. Period. So simple. Verse 22, for if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, to do them, don't just talk about it, do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways. Well, what is the way? Christ is the way. And to cleave unto Him. You hold on to Him. You cherish that connection, that Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit that gives you hope. We're reading from the Old Testament way back when the law was given. It hasn't changed, and Christ didn't destroy it. He fulfilled it and brought it forth for us. And it still applies those conditions to this day. How are you doing? You familiar with them? 23. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. The world over you will be known. Unfortunately, that's costly and it hurts. But sometimes we have to be peacekeepers. 24. That is to say, if we are bothered, if we're attacked. Every place whereupon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river, the great Euphrates, that's the division between Israel and Babylon, even into the uttermost sea shall your coast be. In other words, you're going to own it. That is to say, control it, guide it, direct it. 25, there shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, and as He hath said unto you. That is blessing those that make that battle, that protect when we're attacked. Listen carefully though. 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And it's up to you. I don't know, which do you want? Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? It's strictly up to you. 27, a blessing if, there's that big old word, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. You're blessed. Boy, I'll take that every time. And a curse if what? If you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day and go after other gods which ye have not known. That's the Antichrist. Those that would turn out. Those that would be led astray, not knowing, but taken into the wilderness. It's coming, my friends. You were told in Mark 13 to learn the parable of the fig tree. That happened in 1948. That's history. You can't change that. It happened. People might try to distort it, but that's fact. And he stated in Mark 13 that all prophecies would come to pass in and to that generation. So that clock is winding down. And our Father, as he said, he's still on the throne. And our Father is very much in control. Let's go to the New Testament and let's see if any of this changed. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. And Matthew 22, 35 reads, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer," we got an old slick here, okay, always stirring trouble, "ask him a question, tempting him," trying to trip him up, "and saying, did anybody ever try to trip you up? Don't forget this." 36. "Master, which is the great commandment?" Which is the great commandment in the law? Question. Well, you know, we've already covered it today. You've already been there. It hasn't changed. So what did Jesus answer? And Jesus said unto him in 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." 38, "This is the first and great commandment." It has not changed. It is spiritual. And it covers all that is spiritual. God is first. You know what we just read is Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, as well as other places. 39, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's if it's your neighbor. Well, what is a neighbor? Well, let's discuss that a moment. A brother is one born of the womb of Israel. A neighbor is somebody adopted into Israel through Christ, through adoption. That's a good neighbor. But as Paul would teach, it is not possible to get along with all neighbors. Then they're not really your neighbor. So what do you do to them? They become non-people. If you can't get along with them, that's it. Okay. So don't feel that you have to be a walking mat to mankind. You don't. Why? You're God's children. And God expects you with dignity, with honesty, and humbly to serve Him and to know that there are people out there that will hurt you. Don't let them. You don't have to. Put those frontlets of God's law and let God handle it. He will. So there you have it. Of these, verse 40 to continue, "Of these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You got it all right there. But, well, what does that mean exactly? If you do all of God's commandments, you can't sin, possibly. Now, I wish we could all say that 100%. We can't, because we all stumble and we all fall short at times. We're just not perfect creatures yet. Someday, maybe. But we do fall short. But thank God for repentance, that you try, that you love Him, and that love for Him flows. If you follow those simple... Isn't that tough? Anyone can follow that. It's so simple. Well, the word just confuses me. How could that be confusing? It's so simply laid forth by Almighty God, witnessed the second time by Jesus Christ Himself, to let you know that it's the greatest commandment of all. Love your Father because He loves you. What does God want from you? Hosea 6:6. "I do not want your burnt offerings. I want your love. I want you to love me." That's why He created us. And do you know something? He cannot force you to love Him. He cannot bribe you or buy you, because it would be false. He wants the real thing. And it must generate from within each heart, each soul, outward to Him. That's what He wants. He wants His children to love Him. That is true charity. That is true love. That brings blessings. Now, charity. 1 Corinthians 13. You just had this saying to you. Now I'm going to preach it. First Corinthians 13, verse 1. And it reads, though I speak with the tongues, that's languages, of men and of angels, and have not love, charity, agape, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Why? That means the Spirit is in you. And if God's Spirit is in you, that is love. Why? Because God is love. It's that simple. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, though I can understand the prophets and teach it, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Why? God demands it. And the sooner you learn that God insists on having your love, or guess what? It's a curse. It's just that simple, my friends. You either love Him or He's going to correct you. And sometimes if it's necessary, it'll end up as a curse. And that's not fun. To have God against you is a terrible thing. You do not want that to happen. When all He wants is for you to look up at night at the star. He created them. He made them for you, for me, for Himself. He made it for all of us. The heavens above and this earth below, He created it for us. How could you not love Him? Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, though I even be cremated, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Just not there. Charity suffereth long, and it's kind. Charity envieth not. It's not proud. Charity vaunteth. It doesn't parade itself. And is not puffed up. It doesn't need that. 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not rude. Seeketh not her own way and rights, and is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. You know, it would be nice if we could all fit that mold perfectly. We don't. But we're trying. And do you know something? God counts that as good when you repent and you go for it. When you trip, when you slide, when you fall, repent to Him. Let Him know, hey, do you understand what He wants from you? He wants your love. So unselfishly give that love to Him and be blessed. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Don't let people change history on you. History is a fact. It happened. But you have many authors and so-called higher critics that want to change what happened to fit their own little whims. You stick with God's word and God's truth, and you'll always be blessed, not cursed. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. 8. Charity never, I repeat, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. 9. For we know in part, we can kind of see that Holy Spirit, feel it, and we prophesy in part. We're beginning to understand. But when that which is perfect is come, when we mature, that word perfect means mature in His Word, as a student should be, then that which is in part shall be done away. It'll be superseded by truth and knowledge and wisdom. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things, didn't need them. 12. And now, we see through a glass darkly. It's kind of a riddle. But then face to face. Now I know in part, or knowledge is in part, but then shall I know even as always, as also I am known. As God knows me, so will I know. 13 to complete. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Without it, you got nothing. In closing, turn to the epistles of John. I want to go to the first epistle. Just before the book of Jude and Revelation, I want John 1, chapter 4. And here comes the crowning jewel of love, of charity, the explanation. He never leaves us wanting. Chapter 4, the first epistle of John, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That proves He loves you. Who was that Son? It was Emmanuel, God with us. He died for you, for your sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. That's how you do perfect it. Don't go the route of the curse if you will do these commands. 13, this is why we came here. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so there's no other way. You either find salvation through the Son, or you're not going to have it. That is just the sad truth, and that's the way it is. Verse 15. I'm sorry, 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Everyone. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. If someone doesn't confess that, they're in a heap of hurt. That may offend some, be that as it may. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Listen carefully. It's why we came here. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That is so important. If you want God's blessings, if you want prophecies, if you want to understand God's word, you've got to see that simplicity in which Christ taught, bringing us that fact. Our Father is love. But at the same time, no, He doesn't want anyone messing with His children. That's just typical Father. Supernatural, but that's natural. And He'll take care of business there too. And He expects His children to see that no one takes advantage of the children. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's a fixed knowing. 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's a delivering up coming soon, as it is written in Mark 13 that I forementioned. And allowing that Holy Spirit, which is the presence of God and God's Spirit in you, to witness and to bring forth that truth, to correct history, to be used to put down the enemy. What a time to live, You know, even the prophets wanted to live at this time. You do. And how precious it is that God gives a destiny to those even that stood against Satan in the first earth age. I know that's a little deep for some. Be that as it may, there was an age before this one. It's proved over and over. That's history. Don't let somebody change it. 18. There is no fear in love. Why? He's going to protect you as long as you use common sense. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In other words, you got a missing peg there. One more verse to complete this lecture. We love Him because He first loved us. And so He does. And so He did. He loved us. That's why He created us. That's why He populated and made a promise to Abraham. Abraham in the Hebrew tongue means the father of many nations, or a blessing to many nations. That they would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Where are they? Well, you know. And you're part of it. You have a destiny and a purpose. But the foundation is built on charity, that is to say, love. You need many things, but if it isn't based on that love, you've got nothing. But why? Well, God won't bless it. You might even be a pretty nice person, but if you don't have that, God's not going to bless it. So you're going to spin your wheels and not go anywhere. So it's necessary. Let Him know that you love Him. Talk to Him. Let Him know. Tell Him. Mix His day. And when you make His day, He's going to make yours. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for the written Word, Father. This writing that can go on our doorpost, that is to say, in our minds, the doorpost of our minds, calling our memory, Father, to love You, honor You, and be a servant, as servants should, Father. Use these as they come in contact with others, Father, to be a blessing. In Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen.
The mark of the beast on